everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man. And if you want to have a priceless experience, then you'll stay tuned to Mega Powers Radio. And remember, everybody's got a price for the Million Dollar Man.
What's shaking, Mega Maniacs? It's Monday, June 22nd. We just finished watching tonight's edition of Raw. The Beast is back. Brock Lesnar, starting off at the beginning of the show, ending of the show, showing once again, when he is in town, shit is going to be happening. Also had a number of other things going down. Roman Reigns and Sheamus having a fantastic matchup. Bray Wyatt poking himself further into things with that. We had Ryback and Mark Henry taking off. The Bella Twins, not doing anything important. We'll get into all the details throughout Raw. First, let me tell you a few ways how you can get yourself supporting the Raw Post Show here on Mega Powers Radio. First off, you can find us on Patreon at patreon.com/Mega Powers Radio. Easiest way to support us for as little as $1 a month, helping keeping the lights on at Mega Powers Radio Studios. You can also just easily support us without any of your spare coin going towards us by listening to us live every Monday here and participating in all the means that we have, and subscribing to us on iTunes, Stitcher, YouTube, and all those other places podcasts can be found. I actually just got us on TuneIn Radio. I don't know if anybody uses that, but go and check us out on there. And also inviting all your friends to check us out if you dig what we got going on here, because the more people listening, the more fun that it's going to be. In the meantime, if you guys want to get involved tonight, we all want to hear what you got to say about Raw. So if you want to get involved, the chat room is already open on the Blog Talk Radio page. Shout out to the folks who got here early. Creepus on the Radar, Ferris419, Chaotic, Wazili, and Silent Wind of Doom. You can also join us on Twitter at Raw Post Show, the Facebook group The Mega Maniacs, and the most fun way to get involved is the phone line, which will be opening up around 11:30. If you want to get yourself in line, we already got a couple people waiting patiently. Dial area code 760-512-7247. See, get you on here as soon as we can. In the meantime, myself and the rest of the hosts will get the ball rolling. My name is Mike Payton, station director here at Mega Powers Radio and host of the Raw Post Show every Monday here. Joining me tonight, I have Mr. Steven Huego, the host of Huego Rants. What you shaking, dude?
I am very, very tired, but Raw actually kept me awake for once, so that's a good sign.
Indeed. And also with me is the main man of the Smack Talk podcast and the website SparkOutMovement.com and Fanboys Anonymous, Mr. Tony Mango. What's shaking, dude?
Not too much, but I just want to point out the at the end of Wakers there just made me crack up.
Tell you, man, once you know it's there, you always notice it, and it never stops being there.
So that's why I started off laughing at this part.
Well, at least we're all laughing at something. My first thing I always like to ask folks, and I put it out there to the chat room as well, what's the number one thing that you took away from this show tonight after all the 3+ hours are done, or another week passed on this story calendar of WWE? What'd you come away with? Tony?
You know, I didn't think I'd be saying this necessarily, especially after the onslaught of pay-per-views that we've just had, but I don't want as much time between pay-per-views anymore. The way that we've had the situation with Payback, Elimination Chamber, and Money in the Bank, it seemed like they rushed too much. But now, holy shit, it's taking forever to get to Battleground, and we have a month left.
Yeah, it feels weird when Michael Cole was saying, in 4 weeks at Battleground. I'm like, 4 weeks?
I know.
Holy shit.
Like, I'm thinking to myself tonight, this must be either the go-home show or the one before the go-home show. No, we've got weeks left. Like, oh man, it's brutal.
You see, here's my question. I don't know if this this July 4th show is how this is being treated into their calendar, because that we actually had a commercial for it tonight. This is the most I've seen them promote it, so maybe they're stepping up what they're doing with that event.
Maybe, but the fact that the storylines that are carrying over for Battleground don't seem to kind of interact with that. Like, that's more of like, we've got a little bit of this kind of stuff, a little bit of NXT. Like, it's sort of like a glorified house show. And they're not going to, like, there's no break in between, kind of. Like, we're going to get the next 4 weeks are going to be, what else is Seth Rollins going to do with Brock Lesnar? What else are Cena and Owens going to cut promos about and stuff? And really, at this point, especially the matches and the feuds that are carried over from the past couple of months, I'm tired of it.
No. Wait, what were you going to say there?
No, I totally forgot.
All right, well, what's the number one thing you took away tonight?
I was happy Brock Lesnar came back, but at the same time, I got my fill of Brock Lesnar on this show. Yep.
Could have used a little more Jumpin' Jeff, though, right?
We could have used a lot more Jumpin' Jeff. It's just that last segment just dragged on way too long, and it got to the point where I couldn't keep my attention on the show anymore. So Brock Lesnar's better in small doses, and he just needs to come in quickly, destroy things, and go home.
Here's the thing. That segment at the end there, he was probably involved in it maybe a total of 3 minutes.
Yep, longest 3 minutes of my life.
I want to hear if anyone out there is actually feeling negative about this ending, because I thought the ending of this show was fucking awesome. I thought every bit of it, Seth Rollins in there begging for forgiveness, J&J and K just sitting there looking all disheveled, not sure if they're going to follow along with it. Brock Lesnar's music hits at the tensest moment of it all. They you know, seem like they're standing tall with him, and then walk away, but haha, it's a ruse. And Kane attacks Brock Lesnar from behind. Brock Lesnar just steamboats over all of them, gets into the ring, tries to fight off Seth Rollins, but Seth Rollins just fucking gets his ass kicked. And in the end, they all overpower him. To the timing of it all, I thought was actually really good, with the how they had to slowly take Brock Lesnar down with a series of chops to the leg. I liked it a lot.
I'm more with Wago on this. I didn't hate it. Like, it wasn't the worst thing in the world. And, you know, it's not my bad or my ugly for tonight, but it did go on too long. And I think more importantly, it went on too long and didn't accomplish much on an episode where that was kind of the theme. Like, I know that they've been teasing this whole thing with J&J and Kane and Seth Rollins kind of having issues and stuff, but that's been going on for months now. And if this is the whole thing that this squashes it, it wasn't good enough. And if it isn't, then there was no point behind it. And when it comes to Brock Lesnar coming out, I like Lesnar kind of more so what Wago was saying, where he comes in, he fucks shit up, he goes crazy for a minute and a half, 2 minutes or whatever, and then that's like, you know, kind of like short bursts, more than he comes out there and then it's a little bit of a beatdown, but he fights back, but then it's a beatdown, and then he fights back and it's a beatdown. And he looked a little bit too much like the John Cena treatment tonight instead of Brock Lesnar. I don't like seeing the baby faces or tweeners or whatever you would constitute Brock Lesnar right now getting the arbitrary, the heels team up on me and then we end the show with a pose off thing. Like, I've seen it for 20 something years. I'm kind of tired of it by now.
I can appreciate that they can't have Brock Lesnar go out on top all the time. And I was actually,
because he gets four people.
And I'm fine.
Four people. One of them being Kane, who is bigger than Brock Lesnar. Another one being Seth Rollins, who we're supposed to believe as his challenger for the upcoming pay-per-view. So what the heck is wrong with him being beat down by four people?
I don't think me and Tony have so much an issue with him getting beaten down. I think it's more to do with how long it took.
Yeah, it makes perfect sense for him to get beaten down by that many people. I mean, we've argued all the time that handicap matches, somebody should never beat two people, let alone three or four. But it's just, did they need to have a beatdown segment like that? Or did they, like, could they have done it differently? Could they have made it more entertaining? I mean, we've had issues where, like, a contract signing has been the most boring thing on the show. And then we've had contract signings where it's like, oh, shit, this was amazing. Like, it just goes to show you there's a couple different ways to do it, and I think they made the mistake tonight.
I think the way they did it, they sucked a lot of the life out of the arena.
I blame Drew.
I blame Drew, too. I mean, he was easily there. He probably stood it all over the chants. Fucking dweeb.
No, no. So I want to do is bring up a point here, because I felt it made Brock look vulnerable, but Brock has never looked vulnerable before. It just feels wrong and kind of anticlimactic, so to speak. Here's the thing. This is the first we're really seeing of the Brock Lesnar babyface run. His whole entire time since he's been back, he's been the monster heel. He's shifting into a new role, so maybe it's going to be harder to stomach because you're used to seeing Brock Lesnar monster heel. He came onto the show at the start of the show, shook hands with JBL and Michael Cole, and apologized to them. This is a new Brock Lesnar. He gave a little playful noogie. Brock Lesnar.
That was a good touch. I like that a lot.
And so, yes, you have to make him look a little vulnerable. You have to give him some sympathy. And it's a different booking for Brock Lesnar, and it may be a little bit of an adjustment period. This was not a long beatdown. This was, you go and you check the clock, this was not long. You compare this to even just a few weeks ago when we had Randy Orton and Sheamus doing their shit. Those were considerably longer.
I think generally endings are a lot stronger when the chaos happens. But, oh no, we're running out of time. You'll have to find out next week what happens on Monday Night Raw. Going off the way they do on these beatdowns, and they always do it, it just sucks the life out of the entire segment. It did it with the Randy Orton segment. It did it when Seth was doing it to Orton. It did it tonight, and it did it for the whole Triple H and Daniel Bryan feud. These segments do not work. Not how they're doing it.
So I wanted to do a follow-up. He said, I was looking forward to a kick-butt monster face. Again, this guy came out there, and he just completely demolished those guys when he first came down there. But eventually, four people is going to be too much for one person.
Hang on.
It's not like he was made to look like a schmuck.
That's like two and two halves. So I guess three people.
Well, once again, it's believable that Kane could possibly get an upper hand on him. It's supposed to be believable that Seth Rollins is going to be able to get an upper hand on him. Uh-huh. So why not the two of them together plus J&J for, you know, whatever little bit of distracting or whatever they could cause?
Yeah, it makes sense that they could, but it's not an issue of Brock Lesnar should have beaten them all up and stood tall. I mean, it's just an issue of this makes sense, but it was kind of boring. Like, you know, like leading up to it, like the whole thing with Kane and J&J and the apology thing, that was like, we already spent, you know, the entire through line for this episode was Seth Rollins talking to people and Seth Rollins talking. And then it was like, well, now our main event is going to be Seth Rollins talking. And I'm like, my God, just fucking apologize already. Get over it. Like, it's the kind of the thing where it's an oversaturation of the soap opera thing on some episodes. And that's what hit me tonight.
And Creep is under radar's right. The pedigree sucks.
I blame Lesnar on that.
Yeah, Lesnar is never very good at taking a pedigree.
Yeah, but Seth's like had no luck with this fucking move. Like he's hit it like twice nicely, and the rest of it sucked.
You know who took that very well was Neville.
Oh, yeah, fucking Neville probably could jump 10 feet and make it look sweet.
Do like a flip after he like lands and.
Out of the top rope.
I want to hear what everyone out there has got to say about it, though, because this is very integral. This is the build to our big summer story. It's going to be Seth Rollins and Brock Lesnar. I would not believe that they are only having this match at Battleground. I would imagine this is going to be carrying over into our SummerSlam story in one way or another. This is the big setup for it. You know, Brock Lesnar returned very briefly at the end of last week's Raw, but this was our first full show with him. And as our babyface, he kind of has to be the face of the show, so to speak. You know, I wonder if he's gonna have to be someone who is gonna have to go out doing the rounds on a lot more talk shows and things like that.
Maybe. I mean, that'll be a little bit awkward, but he should. Yeah.
Wonder if Roman and Dean should have helped. Okay, Silent of Doom is bringing up saying thinking Roman and Dean should have came out and helped Brock Lesnar.
No. Roman Reigns, the way they're booking him right now is absolutely perfect. They are doing the slow burn before they put the title on him, and they're turning those fans and building him the way he should have been built in the first place. So the longer he's out of the title picture, the better.
Maybe Dean. I could see that because, I mean, they did do that little part earlier on in the night where Dean Ambrose went after Seth Rollins. But Roman's busy with Bray Wyatt. Like, you can't cross it over. And he wouldn't have, like, Dean Ambrose shouldn't have come out to help Brock Lesnar. He should have came out, if anything, just to be like, I still hate Rollins. I still want to, you know, punch you in the face.
But, or it seems like they're doing something with him and Kane. Even they could have just had him, like, take Kane out of the picture and tackle him over the guardrail into the crowd.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, there's got to be some kind of a match for Dean Ambrose at Battleground. And right now, it's not looking like they're really building anything.
You think so? That wouldn't be the first time Dean Ambrose has been left off a show.
Didn't he get, like, fucked during a good period of last year?
Yeah, he had like the best feud of the summer and then just disappeared for the last part of the year.
Poor Dean.
Indeed. All right, guys, we're going to start opening up the phone lines here. Remember, if you want to get yourself in, the phone number to dial, area code 760-512-7247. Tell us what you thought about the Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar segments we had throughout the night, or anything else you thought that went down on Raw tonight, or preferably stuff that actually did go down on Raw tonight, and what you thought about it. Let's bring on someone from 609. Caller from 609, you're live in the Raw Post Show. What's your name?
Chanel, what's up, guys?
What's up, Chanel? What's up, dude? What'd you think about the show tonight?
Honestly, other than the Brock Lesnar and Rollins thing, I did not like it at all.
No kidding. Well, what would you like about the Brock Lesnar and Seth Rollins? Let's start off with that, since that's what we're on.
Really, honestly, I just like that. I don't know.
Stumped
like
him. Okay. Well, do you think that it was a too long of a beatdown at the end of the show tonight, or do you think that everything without them played very well? Brock Lesnar looked strong. Seth Rollins looked strong. Everything came out looking for the best. What did you think about that last segment?
That was the best part of the show. And it wasn't too long for people to say that's wrong. It was perfectly fine. So better than the Sheamus and Orton beatdown.
Exactly. Thank you. Follow my there. All right, what about the rest of the show? I mean, what do you think was the most egregious thing on the show that bothered you, that made you not like it?
Let's see. Everything. The Divas match.
Very specific.
What's his name? Big Show and Ryback.
Oh, yes.
Or Flyback. And I guess the opening segment was a little long, but so was every other one.
Well, at least it wasn't the Authority.
Yeah. they haven't been opening it up in a while.
No, thank goodness. They've been actually switching it up a little bit. They went for a promo by somebody else. What do you think about Battleground, how it's shaping up so far? Are you looking forward to this show?
I only like one match. Rollins and Lesnar. The other ones I don't care about right now.
Yeah. Well, hopefully they pick things up. We got 4 weeks left to build for it. So what would you like to see happen at Battleground?
I'm probably Seth Rollins is going to get some cheap win against Lesnar, or it's going to end in disqualification. I would like for Lesnar to win, but it's probably not time right now.
Mm-hmm. All right, Shemal. Great call as always. We'll catch you on the flip side, man. Another cool caller here on the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio. Anyone else out there wanting to call in, get your voice heard here on the most interactive post-draw experience available, dial in area code 760-512-7247. Of course, the chat room is still scrolling awesomely. Let's see if we got anything left in here. Okay. Again, sometimes I come to this chat room and I just can't read things. Silent One the Doom. Okay, here's something. I caught up when I was 15 minutes behind. Just felt like there was no content tonight. Well, it's easy to do that when there's commercials. Should be able to catch up 15 minutes.
Well, I know a place where he can get plenty of wrestling content.
Well, actually, you can't. That website doesn't exist anymore.
Damn.
I think we drove that guy nuts and he just kind of gave up.
All right. Well, when we talked about Brock Lesnar, we mostly talked about the main event segment. What about the opening? Did that stick out to you guys with Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman out and discussing how they got their return, saying that they had this one condition where Brock had to apologize to JBL and Michael Cole? Any stick out thoughts from that?
I thought that segment was... Go on, Tony.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fine.
Cool. After you. No, after you.
Oh, yeah, well.
I thought the segment was fucking awesome. Highlight of the night. These guys, Paul Heyman just knows how to work the Brock Lesnar character and his own character. He essentially did what he did always, but just tweaked a few things, and the fans ate it up. And the whole apologizing to Michael Cole, it was awesome. Though Cole could have sold it a little better. It was kind of awkward. But the Nuggie thing made me chuckle, and Brock looked like a badass, and that's exactly what he needs to. And the video package that they presented, very well done.
I actually skipped the video package. I didn't pay any attention to it. But the Noogie's thing I thought was a great little touch. It's a way to show him that he's still a dick. Like, he's not a good guy, but he's a quote-unquote good guy now. Like, he is doing the right thing. He's just being a douche about it.
He's a prick, but he's our prick.
Yeah, and the only disappointment that I have is that he didn't just beat the shit out of Byron Saxton because he wasn't there the last time. Like, that would have been great for him to do something like that and then be like, you ruined that episode of Raw afterwards.
Yeah, I feel like he should have apologized to him for making him have to go through what happened afterward.
Right.
Yeah, but not for flipping the table before he left.
Seriously, if you take something, return it back how you found it.
I know, Jesus.
You think as a farm boy, his mother would have taught him some kind of manners?
What cracks me up, though, about that, you never really notice that Byron Saxton's on commentary because of how fucking quiet he is. So, shit, like, if I didn't know any better, I would have just assumed there was two commentators.
What did they say tonight? There was something that Michael Cole said to Byron, and I forgot to write it down. It was like... are you going to say something, Byron? Or, like, something where it was just kind of like...
He said something really shitty about, running off to take my job like you tried to last time?
Oh, no, that was something else then. I must have missed that. It was something else where he said something like Byron wasn't talking or whatever, and he was just like, well, you have an opinion on this or what? Or something where it was just kind of like, do your fucking job. And then he was like, oh, I'm just watching the action here or something. And it was like, oh, fuck you, dude.
You can tell that Cole fucking like really rips into him. He doesn't like, I don't think he likes working with him. That or he's hazing him.
I think it's definitely a bit of hazing there, especially because, you know, he kind of bombed his big chance when he came in there. I do like the crack that Ryback took at him as well. Or, no, it was Big Show, where he's like, oh, is this the guy that's taking Booker's job?
And then Cole, I think, right afterward, he's like, no, Booker's only gone because of Tough Enough.
He's coming back, don't like, you worry.
No, he's coming back. He's coming back, guys.
We had our first matchup of the evening was Kane versus Dean Ambrose. Kane actually had a shot here when Seth Rollins came out and distracted Dean Ambrose enough to allow Kane to hit a chokeslam off the top rope for the pin. This basically was Seth Rollins coming out to try to make amends with Kane to try to help get him back on the same page with him. This was pretty much the start of this story as we were going throughout the night. This wasn't an awful match. I mean, it wasn't too long. It was fairly tight. There was a weird thing with the chokeslam. I think Dean Ambrose might have jumped too much. It looked a little weak, but for the most part, it was a fine matchup. Good start to the show. What do you guys got to say about it?
I can't say too much. I only saw the first half of the match, and I got distracted by something. But
Seth Rollins?
I'm glad that Kane went over because he ended up doing the beatdown on Brock Lesnar later on in the night. When I first heard the decision, I wasn't happy with it, but it was the right call.
Yeah, the only note that I had about this was the messed up chokeslam because the rest of it was fine. You know, there's another running theme tonight other than like filler and stuff like that. But the idea that nothing was really like horrible, but there wasn't really anything that stood out on the positive side for me. I mean, it was like, if you show the Kane and Dean Ambrose match to somebody who's not watched wrestling in a while or something, it might be like, oh, that was kind of cool. But for me, I've been watching wrestling so much or whatever, I'm a little bit burnt out on it. So that was like, if nothing important happened, it was fine. I mean, you know, but what stood out to me definitely was that chokeslam, because that it had to have been Ambrose. He had to have jumped a little bit too much or something like that, because it looked more like he kind of helped him jump down and then was like, ah, my back, I'm going to lay down a little bit. He's like, all right, I might as well pin you.
I have to imagine that's an awkward move to take, where you have to, like, mm-hmm. leap and stay at arm's length with somebody.
Yeah. Like, I mean, it could be both of them. It could be that Ambrose jumped a little bit too weird or too far or something like that, and Kane didn't really have a good enough like torque on him, I guess, or something. Like, maybe Ambrose expected Kane to be able to like maneuver him more or something. I don't know. Whatever it was, I mean, botches happen and stuff. It's not the worst botch ever.
When shit goes wrong, just blame CZW. Fuck you, John Moxley.
All right. Well, we had a tag team matchup between the Primetime Players and the Ascension. Before the match, we were informed about Titus O'Neil being named Father of the Year. So cool for him. it's a neat little outside thing, and they should push that. Gives Titus O'Neil a bit more of a personality than the guy who just barks.
But, what's funny, though, when they was praising Titus O'Neil for that, they went ahead and wanted to praise Darren Young, too, and it's like, yeah, and we all know Darren Young's history. It felt so fucking awkward.
Did they say that?
Yeah, I'm like, Cole, do you want to elaborate on that?
And not in a direct message on Twitter, for those who get that reference.
Oh, gosh. Well, they had a match against the Ascension. Primetime Players got the victory here. Not really anything to say. You got anything to say about the match?
Poor Ascension. And Primetime Players are fine. They should not be champions.
I feel like this is the weakest run they've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't this their first title?
Yep.
Yep, they were really over at a point, and they could have pulled the trigger on them, but they never did. Now it feels forced because none of us care about them anymore.
I mean, I like them. The dance is still fun and all that, but like I remember there were those series of weeks where they had them doing those awful segments where they're doing impressions of other tag teams.
Yep, that was some of their worst material ever, so I can't buy into them as champions. I'm hoping the New Day knock them off.
We had Roman Reigns versus Sheamus that I thought had a fantastic long, long matchup. The only thing that was a shame is we didn't really get a proper ending. They're interrupted by Bray Wyatt on the Titantron having a tea party. We don't see the full frame. We just see a really tight shot on Bray Wyatt sipping the tea and singing I'm a Little Teapot. He tells Roman to find him, basically inferring that he has his daughter with him at the tea party. So, of course, Roman Reigns goes crazy, leaves the ring, going after him to search for him. Eventually, Roman Reigns finds an empty room in the back that I guess Bray Wyatt had like a speaker or something playing him singing I'm a Little Teapot. And it's this really creepy, dark room. There's like these barely lit lights hanging from the ceiling. And there's all these pictures of Roman Reigns stapled to the wall with his eyes and mouth cut out. There was something written on the wall that said anyone but you, whatever that could possibly mean. This was some really cool, creepy stuff. This is some Cape Fear level things that I don't think they've really done with Bray Wyatt at all since he's come in. So finally, fucking awesome. This is one of the coolest things I think I've seen Bray Wyatt ever do. And again, I like this match, so I think this was a real highlight of the show. But let me ask you guys what you thought about it.
This is actually probably my favorite thing they've done with Bray Wyatt in this entire year. If not, you know, 2 years or something like that. And this was really cool. That backstage thing, the set that they had put up there, that was interesting. It was like, they haven't quite fully given him a purpose to feud yet. I mean, he cut a better promo against Roman Reigns recently than he's done against Ryback or anybody else recently, too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like where they're going with this. And incorporating the kid angle is good. That's a good means to kind of put Roman Reigns over and Bray Wyatt too. I was like, you know, this guy's totally sick. This guy's a good father. He's not father of the year apparently, because then he would be a tag champ. But I like it. I like the cutout pictures. That was cool. And I like the anyone but you, because it's a good way to kind of reference what's been happening with Roman Reigns and kind of build a story out of that. It's, you know, take the bad and make a good out of it.
They did make a, with Bray Wyatt's promo we had last week, he talked about Daniel Bryan being the chosen one and all that. And now Roman Reigns is the chosen one. Perhaps that's what it is. Just anyone but you is the chosen one.
Yeah, I think that's where they're going here. And I mean, I don't know where that's going to end. And, you know, that's kind of part of the fun about it. But I do like it. And I think that having this backstage set that they had set up was pretty cool. The rocking chair was a nice little touch. Maybe that one's going to burn down too. I don't know. But I really hope, though, that they don't actually incorporate his kid at any point. And that's partially because I don't think necessarily kids in those kind of storylines are the best actors and actresses and stuff. But it's also because maybe it's kind of crossing the line a little bit. Like, I like the
Some people feel like they've already crossed the line with what they're doing.
But I think
just anyone that feels that way needs to go fuck themselves.
Yeah, I think that they're fine right now, but if they start doing anything where he actually does like abduct the little kid or something like that, then I can see some argument.
This is the same company that decided to have the fucking father of the child, Dominic, decided in a ladder match. I'm fine with they want to bring the kid involved. It's not a big deal at all.
Well, there's a difference when it's two people who love the kid fighting over custody of him, or when it's someone who wants to abduct the kid to do who knows what.
Yeah, like, if they keep this kind of, like, I don't know.
Okay, it's not like vibe. It's not like he's got a van outside and he's leading the kid into it.
How do you know?
He's got to come to the arena at some point.
Yeah.
Do you see him driving around in a sedan? I don't.
Actually, probably.
It'd be funny if he drives like a smart car.
If he'd driven anything, it would be a rape van.
Exactly, see?
Ah, fuck, you got a point.
Oh, no, I can see him driving a Woody wagon.
Like
a really old, beat up Woody wagon.
What if he's just on this, like, rocking chair that's got wheels?
Oh, it's like that. You ever see the show Roundhouse? They used to have the dad that had the motorized recliner.
Or like the Beverly Hillbillies, how the grandmom's chair was always on the top of it.
Yes. Oh, this has gotten ridiculous.
But yeah,
you have any thoughts about this, Wayo?
Pretty much echoing the same stuff as Tony. I really enjoyed this. I'm glad they're doing something different with Bray Wyatt. When you give him direction, he isn't that bad. But when you just stick him out there, well, he comes up with terrible superheroes.
Well, can we give some praise to Sheamus here? Actually having a pretty decent match here on Raw.
It was a good match. No. But all I could scold, the main thing that I focused on this match was, look at his shoulder. That fucking bruise. Jesus Christ. Where did he get that from?
It had to have been something over the weekend or something, because he didn't have that last week on Raw. So I would have thought it would have been from Money in the Bank, but...
I know he normally gets injured in that match.
Mm-hmm. I think it's another one of those things that makes Sheamus unique. He gets these weird, like, bruises on him, and they're there for, like, weeks at a time.
It's a shame that he is not sticking with the audience or not connecting with them, because he has a lot of benefits for himself. Like, he's got a unique look. There's a lot different about him. He's a big guy. You don't normally get that type of character around. It's just a shame he's not connecting, because he's talented in the ring, too.
Mm-hmm. And one, I had a friend over who is not a major wrestling fan. He was watching, and even he noticed throughout this match that Sheamus had a very wide array of moves, like specialty moves that he had names for and things like that. It's like, that's something you don't see from many people these days. And I didn't even really, he doesn't even really know. Like, Sheamus has like four or five finishers alone, let alone all of his setup moves.
You know why you don't see it from anybody else? Because Sheamus keeps fucking stealing them all. Like, Neville will come out and be like, hey, guys, I'd really like to do this move. And he's like, oh, you mean the move that I just did?
Let's see Sheamus do a red arrow. That's why these moves had to get so ridiculous, because they're like, well, I have to do something like this because Sheamus will never be able to do this.
Somebody's like, I'd really like to do a punch. And he's like, that's my move. I punch.
No, you kick. No, I punch now, too.
I kick, too. I punch and then I kick. Called the punch kick.
I do both at the same time.
And then I beat their chest 10 times. Yes, yeah, I made a name for it too. The 10 beats of the Batman.
I still have not. 10 beats of the smash the keyboard. Even Michael Cole tonight, he just kind of like rambled off. It was like the 10 beats.
By the way, Roman Reigns, when he started elbowing him and the fans started counting along, he should have done it till 10.
I thought he did it till like 11.
He did it till 4.
No, he didn't.
He did.
No, like, when he did those clotheslines, he did a ton of them. What are you talking about?
No, when he... Okay, so Sheamus is doing his 10 beats of the...
the Bod Ran, apparently.
And Roman Reigns stops him midway and starts elbowing him. Well, when he's elbowing him in the head, the fans are chanting to the elbows, and I'm like, keep doing it.
Oh, okay. I thought you were talking about when he had him in the corner and he was doing those clotheslines. He did, like, I thought, like, way more than 10. I thought he did, like, 13 or 14.
Probably.
Wow. All right, we had Neville out for a match with Kofi Kingston. The other New Day members are out, of course. Very early on in the match, Xavier Woods had a line that I absolutely loved. He's talking smack to Neville. He's like, Neville, you better watch out. I'm going to call Gravity and tell him where you at.
Yeah, that was great.
Although I do think it's a bit sexist that they automatically infer that Gravity is a male. We don't know what Gravity identifies as. Who are we to assume?
It's that... standard grammar rule. You go with he if you don't know.
Well, that's sexist. Shouldn't it be they?
Yeah, but we're talking about rules that were put in place years and years and years ago. And okay. A language that has read.
Well, you know to he, because no woman could say no to those elf ears.
The primetime players eventually come down to the ring to help even the odds against the New Day members, but they get ejected. But the referee, being fair, also ejects Big E and Xavier Woods. This allows Neville to quickly pick up the red arrow for the win, like, comically quickly, right after he ejects Big E and Xavier Woods. Is what it is. Just happy to see the red arrow. Honestly, I would like to see these guys, you know, have a good long match with each other. Maybe, like, an actual one-on-one ladder match between these guys would be really badass.
That'd be cool.
Yeah. One of those things maybe we'll get down the line. What'd you guys think about what we had tonight, though?
Another great outing for Neville. I'm glad that they've not given up on him like they've done with a few NXT guys. Very talented and has got a bright future. It's a shame that member of the New Day had to be sacrificed for this, but oh well.
Yeah, that pretty much sums it up. I mean, I like Neville. I like Kofi. I like New Day. I don't like primetime players really right now. So yeah, disappointed to see New Day lose, but Neville's somebody who they can't just forget about. So it was good to see him win a match.
So I have a question with how you book groups like this. Is it okay to have one of them lose because ultimately it's just one guy and your ultimate goal is to protect them as a whole? And if they get broken up like that, it's perfectly fine for them to lose?
You pick a fall guy and it should be Xavier Woods.
Yeah, but Xavier Woods sucks in the ring. And it's not going to be Big E, so.
I think in the grand scheme of things, it's fine. It depends on how often you do it and how you do it. Like, in a situation like this, Neville doesn't have a feud really right now. And I think the default situation should always be the babyface winning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Neville has nothing to lose by losing, but he has nothing that he really necessarily needs to gain too. It's like a weird situation. Although the same kind of applies to Kofi. Like, Kofi right now is probably going to be one of the two people that fights for the tag title at Battleground, but he doesn't have to be. And the story with the New Day is that the three of them are, you know, this tight unit and stuff like that. You split them up and you have Kofi lose. By default, Neville should win, because Neville losing, what's it gain? You know, well, New Day still is feuding with primetime players. They don't look stronger against primetime players. It's not like Darren Young and Kofi Kingston were fighting. Then it would be a story where I would think that Kofi Kingston should win.
Well, they're certainly not building Kofi for the July 4th event that's happening in Japan. Speaking of that, we actually got a commercial for it, which I thought was pretty neat, the way that they had it playing. And they showed like a view of the city of Tokyo and Mount Fuji in the background. They had like this big, like, ghostly image of Brock Lesnar standing tall over the city. And they're calling the event the Beast in the East. Like, hell yeah. I love this. This is like some 70s boxing era type stuff where they use titles like that, like the Fracas and Caracas.
The only reason this is actually getting any television exposure is because they're like, Brock Lesnar's going to wrestle. Of course we're going to capitalize on this.
I think there's a lot of things people are excited for on there, like the Finn Balor-Kevin Owens match. Chris Jericho is going to be wrestling for one of the very few times ever, like...
Yeah, there's a lot to enjoy on there, and I'm hoping they do more of these crazy specials. It's going to be interesting it being in a Japanese arena, because they don't react the same as an American audience does. They'll actually be very quiet for a good majority of the match and only react when you give them something to react to. But it's not in an awkward fucking type way like you get with some of our audiences.
I think they know that. I think they've been to Japan enough times, plus they know what they're getting themselves into. What I think would be cool to follow up on something with that, they should definitely broadcast every house show that they do from Madison Square Garden. Ever. Because they always go hard with those shows.
And we don't get to see many shows in the Garden anymore, so I'm definitely okay with that.
Yeah, they used to be like the local syndicated thing. You know, you would have your shows from the Garden, they would broadcast Saturday morning or whenever it was. Those are always cool things to see. And as I said, they always do something big there. I remember it was a few years ago. That's when they had Cody Rhodes do that flip off the cage. Eventually, they would recreate that on Raw. But the first time he did that off of the Garden was awesome.
Every time they go to MSG, they fucking have a cage match.
Mm-hmm. That's the thing.
Did they announce who Jericho's going to fight?
It was originally supposed to be Finn Balor, but then they switched him into the title match. So I don't know who he's fighting now.
I don't know who would be a good person for him. I mean, if he's looking for somebody on NXT, there's enough people that would be kind of fun. But
I was about to say, I think it's Neville, actually.
Well, cool. Fucking what's his name? Hideo Itami said he's actually going to be wrestling on that show, but then he's going to go back and nurse his injury. So you might get Jericho versus Itami.
Smart. He's going to aggravate the fuck out of that and be out for another 8 months.
Yeah, that really can't be worth it. Maybe if he's in a tag match or something where he can hide it and not do much.
They tag his messed up arm and he's like, ah, fuck. Or he just gets replaced by Tensai.
Wow. All right. We had John Cena coming out to tell the crowd whether he should accept the match that he got challenged by Kevin Owens for the United States title for. He doesn't really give a clear answer on it, but, you know, he's doing his always, I could walk away, but what kind of champion would I be? Never give up, yada, yada, yada. Kevin Owens finally comes out to say he's had enough. He has a really cool line in his side of it that I thought was cool, where he talks about how John Cena says that the United States title has become is a symbol of excellence, and that he wants to take that and make a symbol of his excellence. Thought that was really, really neat there. This just ended with John Cena raising his belt to the crowd, right? They didn't even do anything.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, I guess there's not much of that. Anything you guys got to say about their speeches?
Filler.
I thought it was great promo work, and they just need to keep doing this. It's one of the few feuds where I'm not getting bored of the promo work, so hats off to both Owens and Cena, because they both are doing a good job.
I thought Cena came down a little bit this week. Owens, I thought, was still strong, but I thought Cena, I could have expected better from.
I didn't like the whole different language thing.
Oh, really? Yeah. As soon as Owens started talking French, I was like, oh, Cena's going to hit him with the Chinese back.
Yeah, to me, that was just kind of like, what the hell am I watching? Like, was that supposed to be, you know, something like that I was supposed to boo Kevin Owens for?
I think he was expecting more of a heel reaction.
No, I think that he was actually, if anything, he was poking fun of the old standards.
Yeah.
Like, of how cheesy it was just to boo a foreigner. It's like, oh, I'm a foreigner. I'm Canadian. Like, it's like it's almost a joke to say that he's foreign. I don't know. I thought it was cool. And you know, I wonder if part of it is you're feeling alienated because it was these languages you don't know. But on the flip side of that, think of how special it is for someone who speaks Chinese as their home language at their house with their family, because they have family that, you know, is really old or whatever it may be. How cool that is for them to see something like that.
Eh, I don't care about what's cool for them. I care about what I like.
At least you're fucking honest.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the kind of thing where people will be like, wouldn't it be great if the Divas main evented? And it would be like, well, that would be historic if they did that. And I'd be like, yeah, I don't care. I don't want to see it. Like, you know, it wouldn't matter. Like, having them cut a promo in another language, it was just lost in translation to me. Like, I liked Kevin Owens pointing out the foreigner versus the cold-blooded. I can't think of the fucking word I'm going for.
The Patriot.
The Patriot. You know, Patriot, that's like really going to stand up for the American attitudes and stuff like that. But at the same time, it was just kind of like, all right, well, now they're speaking other languages. And what's Cena saying? He's probably saying hustle, loyalty, respect in Chinese. Okay, well, it's the same old shit again. And then the fact that it ended in that too. Like, I mean, here's the other languages and stuff. I can speak other languages too. And here's my belt. See it? Or I go to commercial. Like, it was just kinda...
It would have translated more if they said omelette du fromage, but can't have it all.
Should they have had little like subtitles appear on the screen?
I wouldn't have read them.
And then they
unless they would have
like...
had that little bouncing ball that follow along.
Could they have, like, after the R-Truth subtitles, I'm done with them.
Could they have like Cena drops Mike in Chinese?
That would have been kind of cool.
Kevin Owens raises belt in French.
Or just change it to different languages. He speaks French and he raises it in Spanish.
Silent with the dude saying, I got a kick out of Cena's multilinguality. Is that a word?
Sure.
No, it's not. I just did a search. I believe you want multilingualism.
You know, Cesaro should have came out here and been like, you're all a bunch of jokes.
Just ran it down in like 10 languages.
Right.
Since I haven't been on TV, I've taken time to learn a few more.
Yeah, here's you know, a promo in Swahili.
I was just about to break out like Yiddish or something.
And then they're like, shut up, Cesaro. Nobody gives a shit about you anymore.
We had our Divas match for the evening. It was the Bella Twins against Naomi and Tamina. Nikki sends Tamina into an accidental rear view by Naomi. Naomi, in the confusion, also gets hit with a rack attack for the pin. this, I don't really know what the hell they were going for here. They are so stalling with this Divas thing just to get Nikki Bella for that record. It's so bloody obvious. In fact, I think it's so bloody obvious that they're going to have her lose the title right before it. Just to throw you off.
You know what the worst part of this match and this whole segment was, though? The very beginning of it, you know, when you're typically like going to kind of dance around in a circle a little bit and then lock up, they kind of just like walk toward each other and we're like, what do we do? I don't know, like kick me or something? Oh, okay.
Yeah, this match was fucking sloppy as all hell. There's a reason why we shut on these matches. This was terrible. They couldn't do the basic things.
At the very least, they didn't do another stupid Paige promo.
Yeah, I don't even remember seeing her, except they showed like a replay.
She's probably busy with Tough Enough.
Oh, that's fair. Well, moving on to the next match. Big Show joined us on commentary for this one. It was Ryback versus Mark Henry. Ryback getting the victory here. Afterwards, Big Show goes into the ring and approaches Mark Henry. Weird thing they were doing here. I don't know. Big Show's like telling him, like, come on, man, get up. And Henry pushes him away. Like, what the hell happened?
He's just like, hey, fuck you, pal. And then they're like, oh, all right, so yeah. That's very awkward.
Like, who's the face? I don't understand what the hell's happening here.
I took it this one way that might be completely wrong from what they were going for.
Okay.
But I kind of took it as Big Show was upset that Mark Henry lost because it means that Big Show can lose. Like, Big Show and Mark Henry have kind of always been the top two biggest guys. And if Ryback's able to beat Mark Henry, maybe Ryback will beat Big Show. And he was kind of like, you know, you're on my level, Mark. You should have beaten him. Get the fuck up. You know, you're tougher than this. And Mark Henry's just kind of like, yeah, he's actually kind of tough. And then Big Show was kind of like, uh-oh. But they really didn't do a good job of selling exactly what it was supposed to be. So that might be like 100% wrong from what they were going for. For all I know, they might be trying to set up a feud between the two of them. I don't know.
Weren't they already on bad terms from the last time they, like... I mean, these guys, they're like, their history is so fucking intertwined. Yeah, like, they're tag teams, they're hating each other, like, someone turns heel, the other one. I'm pretty sure the last time we saw them together was when they were both backing the Authority, and I think Big Show turned on Mark Henry?
Yeah.
They had a feud, then they were a tag team, then they were opposing each other in Survivor Series, then they were on the same team, now I'm confused.
Oh my god, I've gone cross-eyed. Whatever. The main thing that they were really trying to keep building for this is the Intercontinental title match that we going on. Miz nowhere to be seen, and Big Show just completely burying him on commentary, saying like the match is only going to be Ryback and Big Show, and Miz is just there as a piece of meat for them to fight over.
And Ryback's like, meat?
Kind of makes me think that Miz is going to win.
Hell no. Miz is going to win. They would have just had him win the title to begin with.
It's not like he comes back from movies and wins titles all the time. Oh, wait.
But he's already doing the movie thing. He would have won that title by now if it was for that.
I can see it happening.
Even now, he does have another movie coming out in the holiday season.
Yeah, that's a while from now.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. He can get the title around then.
Yeah.
But for this one, I think it's a little too late. Well, speaking of too late, we have two people that it's way too late in their careers for anyone to give a fuck about. Dolph Ziggler versus Adam Rose. Both of these guys you just looked at what they were wearing in this match, and what went wrong with these guys? Dolph Ziggler came out looking like some kind of weird mix of Freddie Mercury and the Village People and a biker. Like, it was just terrible. He had this leather vest with all these studs. Lana still makes no sense next to him. And speaking of couples that make no sense, Adam Rose is with Rosa and they're talking about how they have true love, and Adam Rose is making a tease of some kind of masterpiece that he's going to unveil. Lord only knows what the hell that's going to be. What the fuck? What, you guys got anything on this?
I can't remember what she was shouting the entire match, but Rose Mendez, shut the fuck up.
She was shouting? I must have blocked her out.
Something about, our love is true, baby, constantly, or something really obnoxious, and I wanted to strangle the bitch.
Look, Rosa should have been fired before she was hired. She has been the worst diva for God knows how many years now. And Adam Rose, you know, it sounds a little bit mean to say, but when you were introducing this segment, you said, what happened to these two? I don't think anything happened to Adam Rose. I think he's always sucked. He's never really proven himself anything more than a jobber at best to me. Ziggler is on the downswing, but at least, you know, he got rid of some of the hippie stuff. Like, he's kind of like, his clothing now doesn't look good with that jacket on. The tights are fine. You know, that's no issue. Mm-hmm. The jacket's a little ridiculous, but it's a step up from the denim.
Do we think that there's any clout to the rumors of him leaving soon?
I think so.
I think so, too.
I don't think he necessarily will, but I think that he's probably getting really frustrated because they know that they are not going to push him into the main event, and he's kind of looking for, like, alternative kind of stuff. But at the same time, like, something like this feud right now, this clearly wasn't what he was supposed to be doing. He was supposed to be feuding with Rusev, and Rusev got injured, and that fucked it all up. So at the best possible scenario, maybe Rusev is going to be able to heal up enough where they're going to have this fight at SummerSlam, and now they're just kind of, like, stalling for time and stuff.
Oh, and the stuff they're doing with Rusev is terrible. Like, the stalking Lana stuff.
And looking like a joke, like, you know, he fell backstage here. And I highly doubt he was planned to break that part of the set. They probably looked at that and they were like, son of a bitch. It took them forever to replace those things backstage. Like, they were using the old Raw logo from, you know, 2008 or whatever it was, until, like, I don't know, a couple months ago or something. And now he fucks that one up. I hope they have some spare ones and they don't just, like, dock his pay. They're like, all right, you fucked up the Star, you fucked up the WWE. Like, but what's going on with fucking Summer Rae? Like, they're going to pair them up because Summer Rae just gets paired up with people. That's all she does.
I thought she was going back to The Miz.
I thought so too. She went from Fandango to Layla to The Miz.
Oh no, don't forget Damian Sandow for a little bit.
That's true, yeah. Then to Damian Sandow, then back to The Miz, and then now Rusev. They just want to do, like, blonde versus blonde or something? Because Lana's not even trained to wrestle, is she?
I think she's been working on it, but I can't imagine she's anywhere near ring ready.
God forbid they have some kind of a match at SummerSlam or whatever where it's Ziggler and Lana against Summer Rae and Rusev. I don't want to see that crap.
Well, that's pretty much everything that was on the show tonight. Before we get to the good, bad, and the ugly, I have to do my new segment that I like to do here, and that's talking about what my favorite commercial of the night was. My favorite commercial for tonight's show, although they played that commercial from last week, the anti-smoking one with Death Maggot, I still love that one. This one wasn't a new one, but this is one that I want to highlight. It's the Johnsonville sausage commercial, where they have, like, an Italian mafioso guy who comes up to a guy making sausage for his family. He's like, ah, we're family because we eat this sausage, right? Good, well, maybe you won't mind hiding this, you know, like, maybe in a floorboard or a paste behind your refrigerator. The tagline for the company, Johnsonville Sausages, we don't make sausage, we make family. And sausage. it's just... Marketing's getting a lot of fun right now. That's cool. Because you know what? People are tuning more and more to commercials, especially with DVR. They're skipping over them. They really, really need to fight hard to keep people watching. So I'm glad they're being tested, and I think a lot of places are hitting it out of the park. Like them, like Sonic, and even the anti-smoking ads got a hit out of me, although they had a lot of crappy ones too.
Tell you what, I'd rather watch any of those kind of commercials than another one of these. Call your doctor if you think that you have depression and you would like to have this medicine, even though your doctor would be responsible for prescribing it. Let's just watch these people run through the field and play catch with their fucking kids. And
has nothing to do with the medicine. It's like something for, like, fucking bowel movements or something. Yeah. Like,
do you have a dandruff problem? Well, look at these people walking on the beach. They're having fun, aren't they? And you would too if you bought our dandruff shit.
You can't possibly walk on the beach if you have dandruff.
No, not at all. And especially when it gets, like, the rougher kind of things. Like, it's like, you know, you have problems urinating or whatever, and it shows people, like, kayaking and shit. It's like, that stuff I immediately tune out. But if you do something like the Johnsonville sausage one, and I was like, you know, that kind of made me laugh. You know, and the commercial that we've talked about before, the Carl's Jr. one, like that made me laugh. So now I remember that Carl's Jr. has the sandwich out there. That's advertising that works. But when you do, I don't know, Demoxenil is advertising something, and here's a bunch of old people standing around playing shuffleboard, I don't pay attention to that shit at all.
Oh, sounds like Wago could have used some of that medicine that makes you walk through fields and meadows.
Yeah, it definitely could.
You know the worst part about those medicines is when they start talking about the side effects?
Oh, that's the entire commercial.
Yeah, I think I just got the side effects.
And the side effects are so much worse than anything else, too.
Yeah, like, do you not like having dandruff? Well, side effects from this medicine can be anal bleeding, cancer.
Yeah. Severe hemorrhaging through your eyeballs. And my favorite one out of all time, though, I don't remember what the medicine was because, again, I'm not paying attention to it. I wouldn't, you know, talk to a doctor about that anyway. That's kind of what their job, to prescribe things to me instead of me to, like, advertise for them. But one of them was a depression medication a couple years ago. And the one of the side effects that made me crack up was tell your doctor if you've experienced increased gambling urges. And then what they follow it up with, suicidal thoughts. So if you're depressed, take this. But you might gamble away all your money and then kill yourself.
Like, and if you do, we can't be held liable because we told you in the commercial.
Right. Like, goddamn, I think I'm pretty sure I'm going to just take my chances with the depression at this game.
Silent the Doom saying, don't forget Colonel Sanders. I finally saw those commercials that you guys have been telling me about. Those are not cool.
I'm Colonel Sanders. I like my chicken.
Somebody shoot me. I'm a fucking cunt.
Creepers on the radar. Money. Creepers on the radar making a good point. Those commercials would probably be better if they were narrated by Don West. Do you have depression? Well, boy, do I have some shit for you. Look at me open up this pill. Look at this. I got a pill that gives you $1 million. I got a pill that gives you Playboy bunnies by the dozen. I got a pill that gives you a 12-inch penis. Order these pills now. Be dialing. Oh,
I love those Don West. If you have not seen Don West selling Beanie Babies or baseball cards or any of the things he used to sell on the Home Shopping Network before his days in TNA, you owe it to yourself to go find that out.
Yeah, there's a reason why Peyton has a closet full of Beanie Babies.
I tell you what, though, I'd rather listen to the commercial as advertised by Taz, where he's like, the problems with this are... And they're like, oh, shit, the guy took the medicine. No, it's just Taz.
All right, now some disclaimers about our medicine. Welp, here comes the pain.
Release the pigeons. It works really well. It's tough medicine. Yeah.
This medicine was given to me by my friend Joey Numbers.
Taz is fucking terrible.
Have you heard his podcast?
No, I did. I avoided it because I thought it sounded like his commentary.
Well, I think it's called The Human Podcast Machine. Just actually a clever name for his podcast. I listened to one episode. It was the one where he addressed him leaving TNA. And he was okay, but I wouldn't listen to another one.
Does he stutter as much on that?
Oh, he stuttered a shit ton. All right, let's wrap things up here, guys. We got the good, the bad, and the ugly. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, where we talk about what the best part of the show was, the worst part of the show was, and the part of the show that was probably best to avoid if you don't like your eyes bleeding from your skull. Also, probably good thing not to take those medicines with the weird side effects. Let's ask Wago what your good, bad, and ugly was. In the meantime, chat room, feel free to throw yours in. Wago, what's yours? Wago?
Did you have another bathroom emergency?
It helps if I talk with my microphone not muted.
Yeah.
Yes. So for the good, I have the Brock Lesnar segment that opened the show. It was very good. Paul Heyman was very much on point. And Michael Cole got nugget. Do I need to give you any more reasons? And for the bad, I'm going to give it to... I'm not sure if I want to give this the ugly or not, but Rosa Mendez was fucking terrible tonight. Jesus fucking Christ. And The Ugly, there wasn't anything overly offensive on this show. So, no, I'm not good and ugly.
All right, Tony, you're good, bad, and ugly.
My good's going to go to the Anyone But You backstage set. That was very cool. Yeah. Bad's going to go to the botches of finishes tonight, the choke slam and the pedigree. Just because, you know, they're supposed to be the end of something that really puts a stamp on it, and that showcases that wrestling is fake when that kind of stuff happens. So, ugly, it's tough. I mean, I could give it to the just random green screen popping up out of nowhere.
Oh, yeah.
Fans shit all over that.
That was immediately, boo, fuck green.
Oh, no, it took a moment. Like, people were like, oh, okay. Oh, it's still there. Boo!
But I think I'm going to have to give it to a tie between anything that the Divas did tonight, including having Rosa kiss Adam Rose with that hideous facial hair that he's got going on right now. Just nothing that any of the women did tonight stood out to me as anything positive. And it's a shame to kind of say that and group them all together. But really, when you've got a match like the tag match, and you've got Rosa and the Adam Rose thing, and you've got Lana, and she didn't really do anything, but now they've got this thing going on with Summer Rae. It's just a downside, so, ugly.
All right. Before I throw mine in there, I'll grab a couple out of the chat room here. Silent One the Doom says, good, Bray Wyatt getting creepy. Bad, no more Hot Rosebud of the Week. And the ugly Raw having so little content that I couldn't call in because all I'd say is the 2 points above and then hang up. Oh, well, we're all sadder for you not being able to call in Silent One the Doom. Also with us is Five Times Combos, good, bad, and ugly. Good, Darren Young's Northern Lights suplex. Bad, most of the matches, and ugly, tie between Sheamus's bruises and Adam Rose's facial hair. And I'll give you guys my good, bad, and ugly for my good. I am also going to give it to the Bray Wyatt segment where he had the room in the back with the eyes and mouths cut out of all the Roman Reigns pictures. Super creepy, super awesome. Bad, I'm going to give to our Divas match. I usually don't go so typical, but this week seems appropriate. That match was just plain old boring with plenty of sloppiness involved. And for my ugly, what else could I possibly give it to but Dolph Ziggler's jacket? That thing was hideous and should be burned.
I'd like to change my ugly to Dolph Ziggler's jacket.
You know what? He's halfway to a full metal jacket. All right. Let's get the hell out of here before I make any more jokes like that. Wago, tell the world about some other things you got going on in the world that they should check out.
To find all my projects, just go to StephenWago.com. That'll link you to my SoundCloud, where you can find all my other social media links.
All right, Tony, what's good?
SmartOutMoment.com, Smack Talk Podcast. You can find on iTunes and YouTube and Stitcher. Go to FanboysAnonymous.com. We got a lot of great content that we've been pumping out lately. In particular, the Not Safe for Work Geek Culture podcast that we just did. One of my favorite ones that we've done in a long while. We also, in preparation for Terminator Genesis, went through all four of the Terminator films for this month's Four Real Movie Club. So if you're interested in any of those topics, listen to those there. Pay attention later on this week. We're going to be at the Too Many Games convention. We're going to do a panel there. So that'll be fun. If you happen to be in the area, then make sure you stop by, say hello to us, and keep your eyes open for the All Talk show. That might end up popping up as well. Who knows? But if you follow A Mango Tree, Tony Mango, Fanboys, Smark Out Moment, and everything else like that, then you'll just be up to date on everything.
All right, if you enjoyed this edition of the Raw Post Show on Mega Powers Radio, be sure to join us every single week following the conclusion of Raw live here. MegaPowersRadio.com is the place to tune, but if for some reason you cannot join us for the live show, we like to make the show easy to find for you in archive form. We're available on iTunes, Stitcher Radio, and YouTube. Just search for Mega Powers Radio or Raw Post Show. It should be easy to find either way, and you can subscribe to us to automatically appear in your feed. And while you're there, why don't you leave us a rating and a review, because that helps other folks out there find us when they're searching, raises us in the rankings, and, you know, makes the show overall more fun for everybody. You can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/megapowersradio, where you can throw your extra coins in our direction. As little as $1 helps us keep things rolling here at Mega Powers Radio Studios, so we can keep bringing you great content like the Raw Post Show, the Daceman Show, the All Talk Show, whatever else we get hosted on there. Maybe we'll even have an Addicted Anime again someday.
Maybe.
Maybe. And all you wrestling fans, go check out keepingkayfabe.com. Just recently redesigned, still making some work on it, but I'm getting things back flowing on there. It's mobile friendly now, so maybe Google won't hate me quite so much. And for all other things, follow me at MRPADAE. Oh boy, I can't even spell my name. MRPADEN, that's Mr. Payton on Twitter. Until next time, folks, I'm Mike Payton for Steven Wago and Tony Mango. This has been the Raw Post Show and Mega Powers Radio, most interactive post-Raw experience available. Join us next week. See you there.